Rhea can hear me in the back, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so my starting point, I guess, is Zamoretti's theorem. So, okay, so the first part of my talk, I guess, will be repeating part of Vitaly's talk, but that's inevitable for the point I'm trying to make. So, you'll hear it again. So, Zamoretti's theorem. So you start with this, that E is positive of the density in the integers, so we look at the intersection of E with large intervals. Okay, I'll only take one parameter, so it's not upper Banach density. You take the limit soup. Is that upper Banach anyway? Right. So we take the limit, and if this is positive, then E contains arbitrarily long arithmetic progressions. So this is an example of a Ramsey-type theorem. So you take some big set, you take some part of the big set, and try to recover some of the original structure inside some large subset. And what I want to describe is a strategy for proving Ramsey-type theorems for deployments which do not have positive density. So strategy has three parts. So the first part is ergodic Ramsey theory. So that part is partly in parallel with what Vitaly was saying. The second part is a transference principle. And the third part is random. Ramsey theorem, Ramsey type. Okay, so the third part is what I view as what ties in or what enables us to connect these two. Okay, so I'll start with the ergodic Ramsey theory part, and that's partly repeating what Vitaly said. So a couple of years after Zamoretti proved the theorem, Furstenberg came up with an ergodic theoretic proof of Zamoretti's theorem. And his observation was that questions about finding patterns in sets of positive density in the integers correspond to recurrence questions for finite measure-preserving systems. So let me repeat what the Furstenberg correspondence principle says. Okay, so you start out with some set of positive upper density in the integers. And what you do is you associate to this set a measure-preserving system and a subset of positive density inside that, so that questions about finding patterns in here correspond to questions about returning to the measurable set in the measure-preserving system. So for any such set, then there exists a measure-preserving system . Okay, so this is an object that contains some set of points, a sigma algebra, so this is a measure space. And so we think of it as the finite measure space, just think that you think of it as a probability measure-preserving system. So the full measure of the full space is 1. And the transformation T, so T is from x to x, and measure preserving just says that the measure of T inverse E, or B, is the same as the measure of B for any B in the sigma algebra. Okay, so for any set E, we can find a measure-preserving system, but that's not enough. I have to find some special set and recurrence properties. So there exists a measure-preserving system, and set A in sigma algebra of positive measure, such that, and this is where the correspondence rule comes into play, if I know that I return to the set A, so if I know that the measure of A, if the measure of A intersection T minus N1A all the way through T minus NKA is greater than zero, then the intersection of E with E minus N1 all the way through E minus NK is not empty. Not only not empty, but there are lots of them, but that's just that's important. But you can see that for any set of integers N1 through NK, we can find if we can find for any such set so that we have recurrence to the set A, we can have the same property for the set subset E of the integers. So you can think of this as the space X, and you have A inside, and you have nice, if you manage to show that you can return to A in some nice sequence of times, then you can also do the same for the set E of positive density of integers. Let me just give, I don't know, for, this is very heavy. Two examples of how this principle works. If you've seen it before, then you feel comfortable with it. But if you haven't, then just I think. Oh, I didn't. My pocket is deep. Okay, fold again, then I'll not use it anymore. We didn't sign an agreement that we have to use it. Okay. So think, for example, if you start out with a set E, be the set of even numbers, then and you take, then what the correspondence principle, so this is an explicit construction. So in some cases you get only one set, and it's nice, such as this case, and it's easy to determine what system you get. So if you start with the even numbers, then the system, the correspondence principle would cook out, would be V mod 2Z, and the translation T would be just adding 1, so you add 1 mod 2, and any questions about returning to this subset over here in the integers would be the same as this question over here, and that's kind of clear. Let me just give another example. So if you take E to be the set of all n, so that the distance of n alpha and the integers is smaller than epsilon, so you take such a set, then this is also a very nice set, and correspondence principle would cook you the system X, which would be the torus R mod D with translation by alpha, and the special set A you would be looking at. Oh, I didn't say what the set A would be here, but A. I say that's from 0. The set A over here, you can take to be So just an epsilon interval. And returning to the epsilon interval over here in the torus would be this, asking questions about returning here would be the same as asking questions here. But in general, if you just take any subset of positive upper density or positive upper density in the integers, and you apply this construction, the correspondence principle, then first of all, you can get many sets, many different systems. You don't necessarily get one. And basically, there's nothing you can say about them other than the fact that you get some measure-preserving system with finite measure one, with the finite measure-preserving system, and a set, some subset, arbitrary subset A of positive measure. So you can ask yourself, and Vitalik mentioned that, so what's the use? You start with some arbitrary set of positive density in the integers, and which you don't know much about, and then you turn this question, you translate it to a different question in different contexts, and you have an arbitrary set of positive measure in a measure-preserving system, which also you can maybe, what can you say about that, and what's the advantage of moving to the ergodic theoretic context? And the advantage is that in the ergodic theoretic context, you have structure theorems that are available for you. And you can hope that at least, I guess you also have them in the combinatorial way, in subsets of positive density in the integers, but they're, or we could try to make them when some exist, but they're much messier in some sense. And once you move into this ergodic regime, then everything is soft and clean. And that's exactly, this is how Furstenberg proved the Moretti theorem. Why did I mess that up? So what Furstenberg showed, so Furstenberg made this observation that you can translate it to this kind of question, but that's a very nice and beautiful observation, but it's not enough. What he did was develop nice structure theorems for measure-preserving systems that were sufficient for him to prove a multiple recurrence theorem. So what Furstenberg proved is that if X is a measure-preserving system, and A is a set positive measure, then we can find, for any K, we can find an N or many N such that the intersection of measure of A with T minus NA all the way through T minus K and A greater than zero, which by the correspondence principle implies that, this would imply that for any set of positive density in the integers, the intersection of E with E minus N all the way through E minus KN is not empty, which is the same as saying that X, then we can find an X such that all these are inside E. Okay? So, this is Furstenberg's multiple recurrence theorem, and again, as Vitaly mentioned, it's natural, once you settle the linear question, it's natural to ask if you can find other patterns inside your sets of positive density, or other natural recurrence properties for measure-preserving systems, and indeed, the first natural question to ask is maybe ask the question about the squares. So Furstenberg used this correspondence principle to show that you can find an N so that the measure of A intersection T minus N squared A is greater than zero, which leads to the Sharkozy theorem that E intersection with E minus N squared is not empty. So you can find that this intersection is not empty. So you can find 2 points in E with difference that is a perfect square. So this is a very good starting point for what I want to say from now on, because let me describe Sharkozy's theorem. Let me give the precise statement of Sharkozy's theorem, because it's stronger than what the ergodic theorem gives. And so Sharkozy's theorem says that if E is a subset of the integers with asymptotic density, asymptotic with 2s? Yeah? 1. Density log n to the 2/3 over log n to the 1/3. So this is zero asymptotic density. Well, as n approaches infinity, this goes to zero. Then E contains perfect square, and the reason this is a good starting point is really highlights the problem we have in the ergodic theoretic approach, because while things are much softer and nicer here, and this is ergodic theoretic methods do not know how to deal with the instance when you have sets of zero density. So we don't know what to do with that. And maybe just before I go on, let me just